Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is time for our Day 11 Championship Week Video Notebook Podcast. We're getting towards the end here. Day 11 already. I'm your host,
It's almost
Chad
time for
Sherwood.
me to get out of here. This is good.
We got David Griggs over there, Mike Chaw below me, David Dorman to his side. And this is, as I already mentioned, if it comes up here on the screen share, this is our Championship Week Video Notebook. And it is also the first day that the official selection committee is meeting. We'll get that a little bit more at the end of the show.
Yes.
But we all know that it is pasta dinner night when they first meet.
Oh.
And I got some pictures here of the actual meals.
I wasn't invited.
Look at these delicious bowls of pasta. This is what the selection committee was doing for a good portion of the night, Greg. So it was just delicious.
What were you all eating? I heard you all were having a pasta dinner.
Well, we were. That was actually mine. The bottom right corner there was my dinner. It was delicious. Oh, so good.
Why didn't you let me out of the bunker?
We did even better, Griggs. We brought you your pasta dinner. Look, there it is in the corner.
You threw a can of SpaghettiOs in here.
your rat is enjoying them.
So now I've got a broken TV, a rat, and a can of SpaghettiOs.
It's high class, isn't it?
What are you going to put in here tomorrow, Chad? I just can't. I mean,
we got a very limited budget, Griggs. We're doing the best we can. I blew most of it on my own pasta dinner over here.
How come I didn't get any pasta?
Let's get to the games. We had three auto bids given out, or in the process of being given out here, but by the end of the show, given out here tonight. Let's start with Southland, actually. Dorman, McNeese. They're back in the big dance.
They are back. Will Wade gets them back. They were in last year. They're back again this year. Lamar was in this game the whole way. This was a tight game. Lamar wouldn't let themselves get blown out. A few times McNeese tried to push it out to 8-9, but that was as far as it got. Lamar went right back to 4-5. I give Lamar a lot of credit. They hung right in there. They were on McNeese's home floor against their home crowd. And I give them all the credit in the world. They played a tough, good game today. But McNeese is the champ of the Southland. They move on. I'm looking for them to be about a 12 or a 13 next week.
Yeah, I thought Lamar really actually controlled the tempo, played the game they wanted to.
Yeah.
That just shows how good McNeese is because they still won by 9 points.
It is, and it shows how much better that they are than the Southland. We don't want to speculate too much, but I will speculate a little bit. With the success that they've had back-to-back NCAA tournaments, and given who their coach is, you kind of wonder, is he going to be looking to move on? And is this McNeese's sort of, if they're going to go on a run, are they going to be able to sustain this level of success in future years? They've put a lot into building that roster. I don't know what the specifics as far as NIL are, but they had a deep and talented roster that as good as they've been, I think some of us were expecting them to do more, but they have the chance to do more. A 12 or a 13, they're not going to be so overmatched that a win or an upset is completely out of the question.
We also had an auto bid, Mike, given out in the Patriot League. Congrats to the American Eagles.
Hey.
Yeah.
This winning. Was a blowout. American
yeah.
the whole
winning.
Way. Winning big.
And Matt Rogers, 25 points. This guy, it's going to be fun to watch him in the NCAA tournament. I don't think they can win a game, but it's going to be fun
either.
To watch him.
Navy, I missed this. Did their best player get kicked out 90 seconds in? I hadn't even turned it on yet.
There was a flagrant foul real early on. Honestly, there was a lot going on. We could try to get a little info on that for you here. But
there was a little ruckus in the McNeese LMR game late in the game.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little one. Nothing big.
I think it was more pushing and shoving than anything.
Yeah.
But it looked like it had a chance to get out of control. A couple of games had some excitement of that matter tonight. But Mike, we also got things kicking off, got things rolling along here in several of the major conferences. Let's start in the ACC here. Maybe we'll start with the two afternoon games also. Georgia Tech, a close one over Virginia, and North Carolina did exactly what they needed to do today.
Yeah, indeed. North Carolina still has a ways to go, but you got to win to have a chance. They did what they're supposed to do, beat an overmatched Notre Dame team. They're gonna have to beat Wake Forest to continue to have a chance. They may arguably have to win against Wake Forest and then beat Duke on Friday. But they're winning the games they should win, so they still have a chance.
So, a little bit of an observation here about North Carolina. They essentially won a glorified bye game, or what amounts to maybe a little more than a bye game, but not a hard game to win. And if you believe in the Elo chess concept, that is like, how good are you in the moment? You move up and down, but in order to move up, you have to beat teams ahead of you, and nobody that they're playing is ahead of them. So, why would they? I mean, why would people say, oh, they didn't win? Not that Mike is saying this, but I've heard a lot today. Well, they got the win against Notre Dame. That's what they needed to boot them in.
So I
No, it
disagree.
isn't.
I
We
no
got to
no
do more than that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But Griggs, what they did was
You win, you have a chance. That's all. You got to win to have a chance.
they avoided the loss that would have killed their
Yeah.
profile. That's what
Oh,
they did.
absolutely.
That's why it was a necessary win.
Yeah. Oh,
But if
I
you
agree with that. But like, they're not it. I don't think
Oh,
beating
they're
Wake
on it.
puts them
No.
in. They need to beat somebody that's in to get in.
I think if they beat Wake and lose to Duke, it's an interesting debate. It depends on how many bids are stolen. I'll just go put it that way. Dorman, the two night games, how about Stanford and Cal for the first time playing anywhere east of the Vegas, Arizona area where they played a few Pac-12 tournament games over the years. Charlotte, North Carolina for the big game, and then SMU and
Yes.
Syracuse.
I wonder how many fans made the trip out to see this round three Stanford Cal. But it was a pretty good game. Stanford controlled the first half and much of the second half. Stanford had a lead much of the second half. I'm sorry. Cal had a lead much of the second half. Stanford finally came back in the last few minutes, hit a shot or two down the stretch. This game, I thought Stanford was really that much better than Cal. They are not. I thought Cal was going to be tired. They had a long week so far. They had a double overtime against Virginia Tech the day before. And if you remember last weekend, they went into four overtimes on the road at Notre Dame. But Stanford couldn't put Cal away. I was impressed with how much energy and legs Cal had. I think they showed a lot. They showed a lot of heart. Stojakovic was awesome. He was just phenomenal. He was shooting threes. I believe it was 6 of 8 from downtown. He was just awesome. I give him a lot of credit. I love watching him play. But in the end, Stanford had too much. The Cardinal move on. They get Louisville tomorrow night.
And Griggs, we got four games tomorrow now. Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Carolina, Louisville, Stanford, Clemson, SMU. We know what's at stake in that Wake Carolina game.
Yeah.
Both teams really, the loser
Both.
could be done. The winner is going to stay alive for a bid. But do you see, maybe, well, let me ask you that. What do you see in that game? And then also, do you see any upsets in the other three games?
North Carolina and Wake strikes me as being a bit of a toss-up. I liked Wake more for most of the year, but they didn't look that good in their last couple of games. North Carolina's looked a little better, but I don't know. If I had to pick one, I would pick North Carolina, but I'm only 51% with them. What do I look for in the other games? I think Duke wins big, Louisville wins big, and Clemson wins big.
Fair enough. I could see SMU actually pushing Clemson, not winning, but pushing them. So, but other than that, Dorman, it was second round day in the Big 12 tournament. Let's just start with the top game there. It was the second day of the game of the day. First game was Iowa State blowing out Cincinnati. But where's the Colorado team been all year?
I don't know. Dan Boyle, I've always thought was a great coach, a very good coach. I don't know if I should say great, very good coach. All of a sudden, he had like his stuff working today. He was making the right substitutions. I was impressed with Colorado's defense. They really played tough. They boxed out a lot. They weren't letting Virginia get second opportunities. Virginia was pretty cold from the field. And I thought Colorado controlled the tempo. They played at their pace. They wanted to go. Ted Boyle got everything out of his guys he needed. And down the stretch, they came and they were too much for West Virginia. And I think the Mountaineer faithful might be a little nervous till Sunday night. I
think so.
think they're okay if I had to guess, but I think they're nervous.
Yeah, how about the 15-0 run in the second half for Colorado as part of, come back from 13 down to take this game. Mike, the late two games, Baylor, surprisingly, we thought K-State would challenge them, but they didn't. Meanwhile,
No, it didn't.
Kansas UCF was a great game.
Yeah, I think Kansas, it looked like, they would get a lead, but then they would do everything they could to, it's like, no, we don't want to give this game. You can have it, but UCF wouldn't accept it. And Kansas is very lucky to win that game. I think Baylor has punched their ticket in. I mean, I'm not saying they'll get a great seed, but I think, they won this game. I think they've punched their ticket. Kansas was in anyway, but if they had lost to UCF, oh, they might have been wearing dark uniforms for the first round.
Yeah, and much like we talked about the other conference, you don't move the needle much by banning K-State, Griggs, but you don't pick up a bad
Right.
loss.
Yeah, you don't pick up a loss to someone that's outside the field. I get that. So while they didn't move forward, they certainly didn't go down.
And if they
There
lose,
are
but
several
they
teams
were,
today that really moved backwards, so I mean, it's all relative.
yeah. But I think the difference between them and Carolina is Baylor is, albeit barely, but probably in already. I don't.
Baylor's beat teams in the field. They have quad
Yeah.
one wins. Carolina's nothing.
Yeah. So, like, in order to get in, you have to beat teams that are in, and Carolina hasn't really done that.
Yeah, I mean,
One
one in
once
ten or
they've done
one
it
in 11
once.
against quad one teams.
Tomorrow, Dorman, we've got three fascinating games here. I mean, BYU, Iowa State,
That's
Texas
a
Tech, Baylor, Arizona, Kansas should all be great ones. And then also the question is, can Colorado keep it going against, one of the two or three best teams in the nation?
I think the Buffaloes are going to run out of gas. I think Houston is going to suffocate them with that great defense, and Colorado won't be able to score as easily as they have the last 2 days. I think Houston takes control of that game early and pounds them. This BYU Iowa State game, Chad, is going to be, they're going to start the day in Kansas City, and I think it'll be fantastic. This could go either way. If you remember now, a couple weeks ago in Provo, BYU beat them, I believe. And they were all over the Cyclones. They played great that night. They shot lights out. We'll see if Cyclones can get their revenge on the Cougars, but it should be a fantastic day in Kansas City.
BYU, one of the
That
hottest
could be the
teams in the
best game of the
country.
four, to be honest. Absolutely.
BYU, and they're one of the hottest teams in the country. I think they're about to run into a buzzsaw if they get past Iowa State tomorrow, but man, they are on fire. Dormy, I have to laugh when you said that Colorado's going to have trouble scoring. I was about to make the comment that I think that if they really pull together defensively, they can hold Houston to under 70. And if they do that, they'll only lose by about 30.
I'm with you.
Texas Tech, Baylor, Arizona, Kansas. Mike, do you see either Baylor or Kansas being able to win these games?
Not really. I mean,
I don't either.
Kansas has not been playing well for the last several weeks, and they barely got by a mediocre UCF team. I don't see Kansas beating Arizona. I give Baylor a better chance to beat Texas Tech than I do Kansas of beating Arizona, but that's not saying much. But I really don't give either of the lower seeded teams much of a chance to pull off the upset.
I
I think
agree with
chalk
you.
prevails.
Yeah, Arizona's been hit or miss a little bit, but I still think they win tomorrow.
Griggs, it was opening round day in the Big East. Butler took care of Providence. DePaul finished the
DePaul
season
winning and
sweep.
advancing 9 wins away from a national championship.
DePaul beat Georgetown three times this season. This is the first time DePaul's beaten a team three times in the season since they were in Conference USA. So congrats to the Blue Demons. And then Villanova took care of Seton Hall, the nightcap.
So Butler, nice win for them over Providence. I think that they're overmatched tomorrow. I still think Butler has a level that they don't normally go to, but that's there. Maybe they can, if everything falls right and the Johnnies struggle offensively, which they're prone to do, Butler can maybe stay in the game for 25 minutes. But, I don't, yeah. But if we're looking at tomorrow's games, I think the one that you circle with neon bright signs and put lights all around is that Xavier Marquette game. Marquette in probably in the top half of the bracket, but with a chance to really improve their seed if they play well in this tournament. There were times that we thought that they were going to get a protected seed, so they've fallen down a bit. And Xavier, what Xavier's probably been one of the better teams in the conference for the last few weeks, but they're while they're straddling the bubble, they're not safely inside of it, and that is a hugely important game tomorrow.
It is. Real quick on the bottom of the bracket. First of all, I have one more shout out to that Georgetown DePaul game. I got to give a shout out, unfortunately, to Jaden Epps on Georgetown with his chance to tie the game late. Dorman, he airballed a free throw.
Yes.
It
Oh.
was bad. But Dorman, what about the other two games here? Creighton DePaul, UConn Villanova.
DePaul, I feel as Creighton is hit or miss a lot. Now they have no inside presence to play defense on Kyle. What's the big guy's name in Creighton? I'm forgetting. DePaul doesn't have a big guy to defend him. That's going to be a problem. Kalkbrenner, thank you. Kalkbrenner is going to be a major mismatch for DePaul. If for some reason he is off or they physical and play him tough and Ashworth, one of the guards shooting, goes cold, DePaul could stick in the game for a little. I think Creighton has too much in the end. I think Creighton moves on. DePaul's season's probably over tomorrow.
Yes.
Connecticut Villanova. Villanova needs this, and they need probably two more after this if they want to think about the tournament next week. Connecticut has had bad games. Let's just say it how it is. Connecticut has looked bad a bunch of times this season. If they are not up for this game and Hurley doesn't have his guys ready, Villanova likes the Garden. They love the Garden. They can get excited tomorrow night. There'll be plenty of fans for Villanova. Yes, the UConn fans will be all crazy and they'll be all over the Garden. But if Villanova can start out hot and get some confidence, they could stick in there with UConn tomorrow night.
I agree. Mike, you're a Big Ten guy, and how about all three lower seeds winning today in the Big Ten tournament?
Yeah. That sorry, chat about Rutgers. Look, they were down a lot early. They rallied the lead late in the game, but I thought they were going to pull it off. But USC fought to force overtime, and the game went eventually went into double overtime, and USC prevailed. The one of the three games, the one with the most impact was the Iowa win over Ohio State. Ohio State, they really needed to win this game
Yes.
to keep their slim chances alive. Now I think they're out. I mean, 17 and 15, that's just not good enough. And if you can't, I mean, I know Iowa's been playing well as of late, but that's a game you got to win if you're gonna have any if you're gonna harbor any chances to make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Iowa popping bubbles. They did it to Nebraska over the weekend, knocking them out.
Right.
Now they
Good
knocked out
point.
Ohio State. Heck,
Yeah,
maybe they're going to win this event too.
I would like to speak to the committee because I know they're watching. If you select Ohio State for the NCAA tournament, you need to go to rehab because you're on drugs.
Griggs, I posted on Twitter that if Ohio State makes this field, I'm going to volunteer to take your spot in the puppy bunker. You should be rooting for Ohio State right now.
Okay, well then select Ohio State. They look at their quad one wins.
What about these games tomorrow? Dorman, let's start top here with a fascinating Oregon-Indiana game, followed by Wisconsin-Northwestern.
Yeah, great games tomorrow to start the day in Indy. I like by seed an upset here. I like Indiana to have a nice crowd there. I think Woodson isn't done yet. I think the guys are actually playing harder for him since he made the announcement. Oregon has not been great away from home lately. I like the Hoosiers to beat the Ducks in the first game. In the second game, Northwestern played well today. They really did. That the Minnesota, they took control in the second half, really beat the Gophers down. If Wisconsin's going to play like they did last week against Penn State at home, Northwestern has a real shot to upset this one.
And Mike, what about the late two games? Illinois, Iowa, Purdue, USC.
I like Purdue to win against USC. Remember USC, they played a double overtime game. It's tough enough to play back to back. even based on a game in regulation. But then when you have to play 10 extra minutes, I think Purdue's gonna beat USC and maybe them pretty handily. I know Iowa's shown a lot of spunk over the last couple of weeks, but Illinois's played very well down the stretch. I like Illinois to win that game. So I definitely like the higher seeded teams to win tomorrow.
I think I agree with you. Other than that Oregon Indiana game, where I'm with Dorman on that. Griggs,
But 8-9's a toss up.
Yeah.
it was opening round to hand the SEC,
Yeah.
and
What a day.
let's start with the top two games here. Arkansas got another battle from South Carolina, almost lost the game, found a way, and then
Yeah.
Texas kept their season alive with a win over Vanderbilt.
So in the first 10 minutes or so of their last regular season game against South Carolina, Arkansas just completely fell apart. I think they were down 18-3, and they did the same in their last 5 or 6 minutes again in their game today. For that middle, what, 65, 70 minutes, they were completely fine.
They had an
But God,
18-point. They had an 18-point lead
they
that got trimmed to two.
yeah, I mean, they completely almost shot themselves in the face, but they avoid, as you say, a loss to a team that's miles and miles and miles so far away from the bubble they can't see it with a telescope, and move on to the next round to where if they beat Ole Miss, I think they're in. If they lose to Ole Miss, I still think they're probably in, but they're going to avoid a loss that could have knocked them completely out.
Exactly.
I agree with everything Greg said. I have one question. If anyone has the answer, please tweet us. Please email us. At the end of the game, Arkansas was up three at the free throw line with a few seconds. I believe there was 2 seconds left. They're up three
Yes.
and they're at the free throw line. They decide to purposely miss the free throw to go up four, accidentally trying to miss it goes in and they go up four by accident. I want to know why
I
you would
have
not want to go up four with 2 seconds to
I have
go.
the answer. Calipari did tell him to do that because he likes to
Yes.
do things differently.
Unconventional, he said. That's the stupid. That's not true. That's dumb. I want to know why you would rather be up three than four.
I
It
get
won't work.
that. I get also, Dorman, that he doesn't really want to be in the SEC tournament. He wants to get ready for the NCAA, but he had to win this game to feel safe about the NCAA.
I
So I
couldn't
don't
believe
get
what
it.
I was watching.
Yeah, it was stupefying. The only thing I could consider is that there is some logic to where if you're up one, don't hit the free throw to go up two, because either way, all they're going to get
Yes.
off is a three, and you want the clock to start. But
Yes.
if you're up two or up three, go ahead and hit the shot. Good
Yeah.
grief.
Okay. Game's over. All right. Texas with the win over Vanderbilt. Mike, Texas, I don't believe they're in at this point, but with a win tomorrow, they get start getting
Oh
closer
God, they win
again.
tomorrow.
Oh yeah, if they win tomorrow against A&M, I think Texas is in for sure. By beating Vanderbilt, Texas still has a chance, but
And Vanderbilt might be sweating now.
yeah, Vanderbilt might be sweating, especially with their non-conference strength of schedule, which is in the 300s. Texas, they're not out of the woods yet, but at least they have a chance. You win, you still have a chance. You beat A&M, I think they're in.
And Dorman
Right
down the
now, though.
bottom here, Mississippi State took no problem with LSU, but Oklahoma absolutely would have been in huge trouble if they could not pick up another win here. They got a win that actually moved the bubble a little, moved the needle a little bit here
Think it
because
did.
Georgia is
I think it did.
probably in.
Georgia's probably in. Oklahoma's probably in. We all think Texas is getting closer. Are we now talking about 14 teams?
It
It's
is
possible.
legitimately possible.
This is getting crazy.
And look at these games we have tomorrow, and we still have the top four teams not even getting to play yet. We have Ole Miss, Arkansas, A&M, Texas, huge rivalry game,
Yeah.
Mizzou against Mississippi State, and Kentucky against Oklahoma. This is going to be an amazing day, and we still got 3 more days of the tournament after this.
It
Those
seems
are
like
like
when all
Sweet
the SEC
16
bubble teams
games.
need to win, they win. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
They get
I was.
another bubble in every day. I totally agree with you, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Big Ten's the opposite. The bubble teams lose.
Yeah. The Texas really, really needing to win. If Oklahoma does it tomorrow, I think they will have done enough.
Yes, I agree with you. Oklahoma, one more win. I think they are locked in, especially over a really, really good Kentucky team. A loss, they're sweating
And they
still.
almost beat them, albeit at home, but they did almost beat them a short time ago, and it was a really, really sort of an emotional game. So.
I'm gonna switch screens here real quick to this Texas profile because I think it's worth a few seconds on. It's interesting tomorrow if you add in
Very.
an A&M win. I mean,
Yeah.
they'd still only be 12-14, which would become 12-15 against the top three tiers, which is not good still. I'd love to see two more wins, really. They would be 19-15 overall if they beat A&M and then lose their next game. But it's interesting, at least. It's debatable. But
It
they
is.
need, I don't think they're even debatable without one more win.
No,
It's
I would
debatable that
agree.
even with that against that Georgia resume you show right there is tight.
I still don't think it's quite enough, but if they like A&M is really, really good, and if they beat them on a neutral floor, that's a lot. I mean, that adds a lot to that resume.
And Georgia, you're right. They're not 100% safe. I have a
No.
feeling they get in. The metrics love Georgia. They're 500 against the top three tiers, and they have several less losses than Texas will have 15. They'll only have 12
We can
losses.
agree on this. Like Georgia is a bubble team. A&M is a protected seed. If they beat A&M tomorrow, that's a whole different level of good.
Right, let's
And
move on here.
Vandy.
Let's move on here. Dorman, it was opening round day in the Mountain West where we saw San
Tim
Jose
Miles.
State win, Nevada
Oh, we
win,
saw Tim Miles win on his way to the Final
and we saw Air Force play
Four.
about 30 minutes where they were leading UNLV in what would have been one of the biggest upsets by metrics of the entire season. That's how bad Air Force has been. But Vegas finally won at the end.
Vegas finally won it in the end. I didn't have that game on. UNLV went from like down 4 to up 9 in like 3 minutes. They got red hot for a couple minutes there. But I like to see teams go out, really fighting and playing well. And Air Force can really say they did that. And they probably played their best game of the year. They don't have the talent to beat these teams in the Mountain West, but they went down fighting. Now UNLV sets up a fascinating matchup with Utah State. Tomorrow night at Thomas and Mack, UNLV's home arena, Utah State will have plenty of fans there. They travel
Oh,
big.
yeah.
And this is going to be, I think this is going to be really, really an exciting, all four of these games to me are phenomenal, maybe minus the New Mexico one, but those three should be fantastic. And let's see if UNLV can pull an upset here.
And
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you what, I'm a little worried about Utah State if they do lose this game.
me too.
I think that they could at least find themselves in Dayton if they lose this
Nervous,
game. They
yeah.
they were so good early in the season. They've been really heading in the wrong direction lately.
This should go into the books, I think, as a road win.
Yes.
Will it not? Okay, so if they win tomorrow, I think they're safe. I think they're relatively safe if they don't, but if they win tomorrow, I think they're safe.
And Mike, we've got the huge game of the afternoon, though. San Diego State, Boise State. It's the winner. I mean, I don't know that there's room for both these teams in the field. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is basically an elimination game. San Diego State, they have the neutral court to win over Houston, but that's looking awfully lonely. San Diego State is in a little better position than Boise State, but not by much. But I think this is essentially a de facto elimination game. Winner has a good chance. The loser, not so much.
The game of the day, of course, though, Griggs,
Oh my
was
God.
in Denton, Texas, with that Charlotte Rice
Oh.
opening round game. Any thoughts on this one? It actually was a pretty good, nice come from behind win by Charlotte in this one.
Yeah,
Rice was up
so
there.
I was curious to see what kind of crowd, and I put that in quotation marks, we would have for this game. It turns out it was free admission to anyone that wanted to come in. So,
There still was nobody there.
and there was still nobody there. I kind of wish they would do, I mean, for sentimental reasons, I kind of wish they'd just play five opening round games, have a either have a make it a single session ticket that's either free or very cheap, and you'll have a lot of more people there in and out buying beer and things like that. Just to play one 12-13 game seems kind of crazy to me.
Well, there were two games. There was the women's 12-13 game before this one also, so they got a
Okay, yeah.
little bit more in. But quick shout to Charlotte. This is the first time they've won a conference tournament game since 2016. a conference tournament game. They've 0 for
That's
conference tournament since then. So they finally got a win. That's a bad streak to be on.
They need Coach Lutz back.
Are we even counting this as a win? Because it was a win to get to the round before the quarterfinals.
Anything at all, Dorman, that we see in these four games tomorrow, though? Wichita State, South Florida, Florida Atlantic, Charlotte, Temple, Tulsa, East Carolina, UTSA.
I think you brought up actually a great point last night, Chad. I'm interested to see if Temple can make a move here in this conference tournament. They've had good moments during the year where they look like a really solid, well together, solid team, and then they've had moments where I can't even believe what I'm seeing. So I'm interested in that. I think Charlotte might be able to get Florida Atlantic a game tomorrow. Let's see if that can happen. But the big games come in Friday when we'll get to the quarterfinals and the top four teams, most notably North Texas and Memphis, will enter the picture.
Yeah, I agree.
A quick somber thought. I don't even know if I should be saying this as a puppet. South Florida in action tomorrow. In what I thought was absolutely the correct move, Amir Abdur-Rahim named American Coach of the Year.
Honorary American Coach of the Year.
Beautiful.
Yes, beautiful move by the
Beautiful.
conference. Mike, it was opening round day in the A-10, which saw Davidson get by Richmond, Fordham upset Rhode Island, and LaSalle take down UMass, two out of three lower seeds winning.
Yeah, I noticed that two of the three the lower seed the teams win. And then 12-13 is kind of a toss up. It is what it is. I mean, I'm happy for Fordham because they're perennial basement. So at least, they're not going to win the A-10 tournament, but at least they get a win here. So good for the Rams.
Yeah, Madore with 26
Fordham
points for
Rams.
them. J Jackie Johnson with 29. How about Corey McKeithen for LaSalle with 30 points today? Sets up some somewhat interesting games here tomorrow, Griggs. The Bonnies at Duquesne, St. Louis Davidson, GW Fordham, and for the fourth time now this season, St. Joe's LaSalle. They met in the Big Five Classic, two regular season games, and now here in the conference tournament.
Fran Dunphy, career's not quite over yet. So, he gets one more against St. Joe's. St. Joe's during the season did have moments of life. They had hours of death, but they did have moments of life. So, could they get by LaSalle tomorrow and then step up and make Dayton sweat in the quarters? Probably not, but maybe. The other thing about Rhode Island is Archie Miller like not doing as well as we thought he would be doing there.
Oh, he did so well at Indiana.
Yeah, I was,
Let's let, Dorman, let's move on to we'll skip ahead here to Conference USA. Two quarterfinals today. Liberty and Jack State both won, and they weren't really the close games we thought they might be. Maybe the second one was closer than we thought it would be, not the first
We finally got to games I think I picked correctly here. I
one.
thought Liberty and Jacksonville State would roll, and they did. Liberty was up big the second half, never got tight. And Florida International, the score wasn't 9 points was the win, but it was double digits most of the second half. I think these two teams are much better than the rest of the conference. I'd be surprised if they didn't each win at least win one more and meet each other in the final Saturday night.
Wait, didn't you pick Kennesaw State to win this event?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
I thought you had.
Did I?
Okay. I thought you had.
I don't
I
remember.
might have. It's so late, I don't even know.
Griggs, how about these games tomorrow? Because I think we are finally in store for a couple of really good games in these two to the other two quarterfinals tomorrow
Yeah,
here.
I did pick New Mexico State to win it more or less on a hunch than anything else. Although Liberty looked really good, and I know it was the 1-8 quarterfinal, but UTEP was not your typical 8 seed. It's not that Liberty beat them, but how they handled them. But it wouldn't shock me at all to see Kennesaw State knock them out tomorrow. The other game, Middle Tennessee—that's a good one too. The thing about this league is that there was so much parity, and every week it seemed like we had six or seven different teams that were in first place at some point during the season. So, I mean, you just get the impression that anybody can beat anybody.
Mike, it was two quarterfinals today in the Metro Atlantic, and after Quinnipiac got by Rider, We end up with a really fun end to that Merrimack Sacred Heart game.
Yeah. I thought Sacred Heart was going to pull off the upset, but give credit to Merrimack. They found a way to win. They did enough when it counted, so they survive. I mean, the theme is survive in advance.
Yeah, there was a very weak foul call that put that Merrimack Sacred Heart game into overtime. Shout out
Yes.
to Sacred Heart's Anquan Hill, 14 points and 21 rebounds in the game, but not enough to advance. And Griggs, there's Merrimack and Quinnipiac both winning.
Yeah.
Well, what about
Quinnipiac
tomorrow? Go
not
ahead,
having
go
too
ahead.
much trouble. Oh, I was just gonna make the comment. Quinnipiac not too much trouble.
Dorman, what about these games tomorrow? Iona Manhattan, Marist
Woo
Mount St.
hoo
Mary's.
hoo! Yeah.
One of my favorite rivalries, Iona
Yeah.
Manhattan, should be fantastic. I hope it's really crowded in Atlantic City tomorrow night for this one, because when these two get together, it's just it's they don't like each other, and you can tell, and it's testy right off the tip, and it's great. I'll pick Iona, but it's going to be tight. I hope it's another great game. And the other one, I like Marist. I think I picked Marist to win this conference tournament. I like them to make a move here. I definitely like them to play Merrimack Friday night. I think, though, we didn't see it today, but the MAC always provides interesting, crazy games, crazy results. So I don't think, I think we'll see it at some point here.
Griggs, we expected two blowouts of the MEAC, and we actually got two close games,
Yeah.
amazingly, although the top two seeds did advance.
I couldn't believe that Eastern Shore or UMass even was on the same floor for more than 4 minutes with Norfolk, but they were in there for at no point did it really feel like Norfolk was going to lose, even though it was close, but still it was a lot closer than what I thought. I just thought Norfolk would just blow them into the sun. And the other game, yeah, I mean, that was SC State, Coppin State made them sweat too.
Yeah, Mike, do you have any thoughts on these two games tomorrow? Howard Morgan State, Delaware State, NC Central.
not really.
Good answer.
Good answer. Yeah.
Pass.
Yeah.
Pass. Oh, we just hope they're a good game. Maybe we'll get an overtime or something like that. Have a little bit of fun at least.
Yeah.
Let's keep going right here with the WAC, actually. Even though as we record this, the Grand Canyon Texas Arlington game is not quite gone
It's
final.
over. Oh,
Uh,
it's
Grand
over.
Canyon
It's over.
is rolling away with it, and Dorman, Utah Valley, no problem with Utah Tech either. So the top two seeds easily advance here.
Easily advanced here. This crew last night thought these top two teams were significantly better than the rest of the conference, although Abilene Christian has had its moments. Cal Baptist has had its moments this year. I think the games tomorrow night will be closer than tonight. Seattle, I know our own Rocco Miller thinks Seattle could go on a run here. And I thought Abilene Christian's had some good games this year. So tomorrow night should be a couple much, I think we'll see tighter games in the WAC tomorrow night out of Vegas.
I agree with that.
Yep. And Griggs, well, even though game's not over here in the Big West either, if we can find it here. As we record this, Cal Poly's putting the finishing touches on UC Davis. They're up 10 with about a minute left. And
Yeah.
Santa Barbara got by Bakersfield, and I think Bakersfield kind of made it closer at the end than it really was.
Yeah, they kind of did. This Cal Poly team is a bit of a live wire team. I know they finished seventh, but I mean, there were moments that they really made some teams at the top of the conference sweat. They had, if you remember back to some of their road bye games they were in, they were right in a few of those. Now, they didn't always bring it. They didn't always play up to their ceiling, but they're capable of playing at a high level. And as good as Riverside is, and they are good, Cal Poly, especially after watching them tonight, I think they can give Riverside a game.
I think so too. Mike, what do you think about Cal Poly Riverside, Santa Barbara Northridge tomorrow? And Northridge team
Two good
that's got a
ones,
little bit of
man.
life to it.
Yeah, it should be a good game. Four or five matchups, usually a toss-up. I'll go with Northridge. I'll give a slight edge to Northridge. But anything can happen.
Yeah, well, last night I picked Northridge to not only win this game, but to win one
I
more.
remember
And
that, yeah.
and we're going to have an interesting discussion tomorrow night, because tomorrow night's when we're going to start previewing UC San Diego and UC Irvine coming into play in this conference. Let's go. one more conference I was in, actually two more conferences were actually. One of them was in the
Oh
SWAC.
my
Dorman. The bottom game, Jackson State, not much problem with FAMU, but how about, well, might have been the game of the day between Southern and Grambling, the Bayou Classic there.
God. Grambling had one of the biggest scrambling episodes you'll ever see in your life. Somehow the ball popped six different ways. They ended up with it. This was a crazy situation. Grambling had a lead in the first half and early in the second half, like everyone thought. Everyone said Grambling was better. They were going to beat Southern, no problem. Southern showed big heart.
Everybody was
The other
other
way
way around.
around. I'm
Everybody was,
sorry.
yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
Southern was up
Everyone loved
13 points.
Southern.
Yep.
And they were rolling. And Grambling got red hot. Southern started throwing the ball away. They were out of control offensively, got called for a charge or two. And all of a sudden, the momentum started swinging, and they couldn't stop Grambling. And they kept coming and coming. And finally, it was tied. And I'll let Griggs explain the end of it because he saw it closer than I am, closer than I did. And it was incredible. So, Griggs.
I will not do the visual of it justice. It's all over Twitter. I've tweeted it, but but essentially, it was an inbounds pass that was turned over, and then it was then they got him trapped, and he just threw it down the floor, and it was turned over again and thrown back down the floor to a wide open Southern player for a dunk. It was I can't even explain it. You just have to see it.
It was one of the craziest last sequences there that got the game into overtime, and but Grambling found a way in the overtime period, and here we are, the eighth seed into the semifinals.
Yeah, and how about the toughness of that to have something like that, just the most dumb luck you'll ever see, the dumbest luck you'll ever see, to blow the lead and appear to have blown the upset, but still able to come back and get the win in overtime. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that was impressive. I mean, because it looked like Grambling had the game won in regulation, and then
Yeah.
boom, that happened. Tomorrow's games. Hey, Mike, I'll throw two more at you. Texas Southern, Alabama State, Bethune-Cookman, Alcorn State. Maybe you have some thoughts on these?
Mike gets all the good games.
Why is there such a large separation of 2 o'clock and an 8:30?
Because
The girl,
the
the
way the
women's.
SWAC is playing it, they play one men's and one women's in the afternoon, one men's, one
Oh,
women's in the
okay.
evening. It's a
Okay,
different
so there's probably a
format.
6 o'clock game
Yep.
before. That makes
Yep.
sense. Neither game moves the needle for me, to be honest.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a rough day there.
Now it's wide open. Southern's out.
Yeah.
Anything could
S
happen.
Southern's out.
Yeah,
Jackson
Grambling
State's
has the
there.
eighth seed and they not only pull off the upset, but now they get a day of rest.
And
Bonus.
Texas Southern at perennial power, they may have a path down to the
Yeah.
finals. One.
Cookman's looked okay at times this year.
Yeah, Cookman tournament's in Atlanta, an unusual location for the SWAC, but Cookman might bring some fans up from Daytona Beach.
One team that's not in the tournament, UC Valley State.
Yeah, and I love that last bullet point there.
Please,
Yeah.
please. Committee, listen to
It
MVSU
would be
MVP,
funny.
unofficial account.
Yeah.
One more game that was played today, just one final moments ago. It's not on the screen yet, but congrats to the Montana Grizzlies off to the NCAA tournament, a 91-83 win over Northern Colorado. Griggs, in a game that they pretty much led wire to wire here.
Yeah, they led it wire to wire. They never blew it open. And Northern Colorado got it made some runs to make it close, but really impressive win by the Grizz. These were the two best teams, really by far, in the Big Sky, and they were even, both 15-3. Northern Colorado getting the one seed only via tiebreaker, and M Montana getting the win the day. Both, I think both would have represented themselves well in the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
Northern Colorado hasn't. They've been the one, I think, and it would have been nice to see them get there because they don't have the history that Montana has. But Montana's still a really nice win, and we'll see what they can do in the round of 64. But they're
Four
there.
players at double figures for the Grizzly, including Kai Johnson with the 23 to lead the way. Nice win for Montana. Congrats to them. They are in the big dance. And that does conclude all the games that were played today. We do have one more conference kicking off action tomorrow. Second to last conference to kick things off. Dorman, it is quarterfinal day in the Mid-American Conference.
Yes, it is.
And we got, I think, some interesting storylines here with Akron Bowling Green, Toledo, Ohio, Miami Eastern Michigan, and Kent State Western Michigan.
The MAC is always exciting. The MAC MAC, they'll all be in Cleveland this weekend. They'll all have plenty of fans because they're all close to the site here. Akron has been the strongest team all year. Coach Grouchy's team is really tough. It's really strong. They're really balanced. They're well coached, and they play toughed up deep. And this, a lot of people like Akron, and I understand why. The 2 seed is Miami, Ohio, and their offense is awesome. If they played defense like their offense, I would probably pick them to win this tournament. They can score. If they can learn how to play defense and shut down their opponents this week, they can move on and play next week. Kent State has been solid at times. This tournament is wide open. Akron comes in as the favorite, and deservedly so, though.
First of all, Mike, do you see any upsets tomorrow in terms of seeds?
Not really.
I agree with you because we don't trust teams that are not from Ohio in this conference
Yeah.
this year. So that takes care of the bottom half of the bracket entirely.
Yeah, I think
Toledo,
Ohio can
Ohio is
beat
a coin.
Toledo.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Ohio, Toledo is a coin flip game, though.
Yeah, that I was going to say that's going to be a really good game.
Griggs, who's going to win the MAC?
Akron.
I'm with you on Akron too. Dorman.
I'm with you. Zips.
Zips.
Zips, we're
Yeah.
going unanimous on the Zips. That means they have no shot now.
No
Yeah.
chance. They'll be out. They'll be done by tomorrow at one.
That would be a shame. But let's go check in our survival board right up there on the top of
Yes,
the
we do.
screen. This is a service we do for the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee. We do several things here. First of all, we track how many teams are left with a shot to win it all. Heading
Yeah.
into play today, Griggs, there's 186 teams left.
186, yeah, and it was a busy day today,
Now,
so.
this number is slightly too high. This is where it was when we started the show. Three more teams since we started the show have been eliminated. But heading into the show tonight, we were at 153.
Wow.
It's now an even
Wow.
150 with the three games that just went final.
Yeah, a busy day with and half that is if you're doing your math at home, way less than half the teams that we started with. We started in the 360s.
And
So,
if we see as we scroll down here, teams in various different colors and categories and the like,
yeah.
and this is a service we do for the selection committee to
Yes.
help them out.
Very
For
important.
example, teams that are bold in caps like McNeese,
Yeah.
that's a team that's won an automatic bid. They're
Won an
guaranteed to
automatic
go.
bid. It would be a disaster if we did not do this or if we made a mistake because you would hate for a team that won an automatic bid to not get selected.
You also have teams that are just in blue as locks there, for example, like Tennessee. And
Yes.
Griggs, if this committee is wondering whether or not they should take Tennessee, what's this tell them?
They need to take Tennessee. Tennessee may not win the auto bid, Chad. They might not win the auto bid, but they're still a lock because they're in blue.
We have teams that are regular type. For example, let's find some down here. Down there in the WAC, we have Seattle. We just discussed them. They've got the
Yeah.
game tomorrow. Seattle and regular type here. Should they be discussed for an at-large bid?
No, they should not be discussed. They can get in, Chad. They can get in with the auto bid. If they win the auto bid, they'll be in blue. But other than that, they cannot be selected. They cannot be put on the board. They're just off.
Well, Griggs, we have a problem here. We've got teams in red that are crossed off. And
Yes.
among those crossed off teams is Mississippi Valley State.
Yes.
But we just saw this plea here. So
Yeah.
what is it? Can they take Mississippi Valley State?
They cannot. They cannot. Where
Oh, darn
I yeah. And I'll
it.
tell you where what happened here, Chad. If we go back to the letter,
Crushed.
they addressed it to the selection committee. Had they addressed it to us, maybe we could have helped.
Right, but the
But we had
selection committee.
already crossed them off before we saw we before we knew about this letter.
What about the Texas Longhorns? We discussed them earlier. They're in green.
Yeah. Now
What
there
does
are
green mean?
teams. Most of the teams they're either in or they're out. But there are teams that could go either way. And that is what the committee decides. If it's a green team, they essentially have to pick it.
What are we doing next? Oh, the minutes. We want to
Yes.
check in. The selection committee was meeting today. Griggs, you actually
Yes.
were able to get a hold of the minutes of their meetings from today, correct?
Yeah, we're just going to recap sort of what they did today. This is the real committee. This isn't
Yes.
our mock committee starts tomorrow. We're going to be giving you updates on what we're doing, but we thought people might also want to know what the real committee's doing. So they got together today, and let's see. Yeah, here we go. So they got to the hotel around 3 o'clock. They received their welcome baskets, soaps and what else they got in there? Shampoo, snacks, like potato chips and all that. And then we always know that they started out with a pasta dinner. And my God, look at this feast they had. They had seafood ravioli. Look at all that food. And
That's a lot of
yeah.
pastas.
That's a lot of carbs. That's Carb
Is there a
City
type
big
of pasta
time.
that's not on
Yeah,
there?
I mean, this is a pasta, but they're getting, I mean, they're just carving up for all the big work. I mean, think of all the dinners and the ice cream socials and everything that they got planned this weekend. Dinner went really well for about the first 4 or 5 hours of the dinner, like 9:57. The dinner is
Five
still going
hours.
on, but it's kind of winding down. They're on the 15th or 16th course, and one of the prominent members of the committee, well, Chad, I know this person called you and you said all you
Yes.
wanted to share with us is that it was a prominent member, and they were very, very disturbed that Southern had been removed from. Can you talk about what happened here? Because they called you.
We'll go back right here. Southern, there they are. They're crossed off. They was upset
Yeah.
about it because of that crazy play at the end. But I had to tell them, when a team goes in red, I'm sorry, you cannot select them.
Yeah, and you try to explain, and the committee doesn't understand this, that the season starts in November and it's a whole body of work. This committee member, albeit prominent, probably didn't realize that Southern had played games before today and that they just hadn't done enough. I mean, that's why we have the survival board. At 11:33, the dinner, it's over 6 hours later, and dinner's wrapping up, dessert's wrapping up, and then you received a another phone call from the ch what happened here?
Well, it may or may not have been Bubba Cumming Camp. I cannot confirm that
Yeah.
legally. But the complaint was that we have too many teams still in green on that survival board. Too many teams that they have to make decisions about. Look at those teams in the SEC. There's a bunch of the Mountain West. We've got a couple there in the Big West. And they were upset about it. And he said, take them off of green. I said, but you've got to do something. He goes, no, take them off. We went back and forth for about 10 minutes here, Griggs. No
Wow.
more green, no more green. I could hear the other members chanting in the background, no more green, no more green. It was crazy. Finally, what I had to do is I had to tell them, Griggs, that if they don't start doing their work and choosing what to do with those greens, there's
Yeah.
not going to be any ice cream social
Oh my
tomorrow night. That got them to
God.
finally ex calm
Oh, wow.
down
Yeah.
and got off the phone call. That's what
Yeah.
happened. True
So
story.
yeah, they went to dinner, and then it's lights out. The NCAA staffers, much like coaches on when a team is on the road, they went around and did room checks. They put the masking tape on the door to make sure nobody got out of their rooms, because if someone opens the door, it breaks the tape, and someone had left the room. So lights out. But it was, yeah, it was just a kind of a wild scene. And at first, when you told me this, I was like, well, do we have a few too many teams? Are we making this too difficult for them? Because we really are here to help.
Oh, well, let's see how they do the next couple of days.
Yeah, we'll see
But
what they.
let's go on to our trophies here. 15 best
Okay.
trophies of college athletics. Quick review of the prior ones. We had the wagon wheel, the old Oak River bucket, the other mythical conference buckets, the Concordia Saint Olaf Troll, the Border War trophy located on the border between Colorado and Wyoming.
Yeah.
Oh, the Wynwood Cup. We love the Wynwood Cup.
Yes, we do.
The Silver Shako. The Couch Eater Cup. Where I don't even know. The Southland Tournament Court. Well, congratulations, McNeese. They get to take
Yes.
that home, but they
Yeah.
already are home.
Yeah, and they're going to put it in their arena.
Well, congrats.
Yeah.
Joe Dumars
Yeah.
Court, they're going to put it right there. King Spud Trophy.
King Spud, yes.
And last night we saw
The
The
Nokoe.
Nwokwu Cup. Too bad
That's
when
given to the
Colorado lost
Northern
that.
Colorado Eastern Washington winner, not an auto bid trophy. Montana getting that tonight.
Yeah, and there's some type of shark puppet eating the trophy. I don't know what's going on there. But
Yeah.
let's go to number four here. Another one of our great, great rivalries. One of these teams will actually be competing in a tournament that we have not even started discussing yet.
Yeah.
It's the Brown Mouth Cup.
Oh, gosh. Oh, jeez. My word.
Between Brown and Dartmouth, Griggs.
The Brown Mouth Trophy goes to the Brown Dartmouth winner out of the Ivy League. Brown. Jeez. So Brown was named at,
We've lost the show, folks.
yes, Dr. Brown is who, I forget what his surname, but Brown is named after,
Root
Brown
beer.
University is named after somebody named Brown, and this is actually his self-portrait here on the Brown. We can't see the back of it, but like Dartmouth, whoever that's named after, their face is on the other side of it. So this is what the two teams have been playing for, the Brown Mouth
It is.
Cup.
You thought we were making these things up,
Yeah,
people. These trophies are real. Final
oh,
thoughts. Dorman, take it away.
Our fantastic crack research team has informed me that Dorman did pick Kennesaw State to win that
Yeah.
tournament. So you are correct, Chad, and I apologize. The committee is made up of 12 people, and this is a true stat. Seven of the 12 members of the committee come from under the radar schools or conferences. And I think that is a really big deal because these aren't computers. These aren't numbers being spit out and, taking all the, with all the computer mismatch and thrown together and stuff. These are people with hearts and heads who think and have allegiances and they have their own experiences and they come from conferences or schools where it's harder to get into the tournament than it is from the power schools. And it wouldn't surprise me if an under the radar team or two, if needed, Cal Riverside, VCU, those type of teams got in this year instead of just being left out because I think the change with so many members coming from that type of background. So seven of the 12 members come from an under the radar school or conference, and I think that will definitely impact voting in a huge way.
I
I
hope you're
agree.
right.
I hope
Yeah.
you're right. Mike.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the midst of the best week of the year. Tomorrow's gonna, I think tomorrow, well, tomorrow's gonna be busier too because you have all the major conferences in full swing. No more preliminaries. I'm definitely with David Dorman about the committee. I mean, it's like, it's a lot easier for a team from a major conference to have a mediocre record. Have zillions of chances against top-notch teams, but it's always it seems like it's always the little guy that gets the short end of the stick. So hopefully that'll change, but we'll see.
I just want a quick note out here. There was some rumors going out here today that with the heading into the next season, there are schools that are actually considering dropping out of D1 because of the
Yeah.
house settlement, all the money. This is something I just throw out there now. Probably something we'll discuss more in the off season. But
Definitely.
the money in the in D1 right now, just is the schools are not going to be able to keep up with it, and it's going to be a shame if we do start losing some schools because of this. But I, it is a rumor that came out there today, so we'll keep an eye on it, and we'll definitely discuss later on in the off season. Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Yeah, that is a those rumors have been going around for a while. We're not going to get into the specific schools yet, and maybe not until this summer. But anyway, for up until like the last 5 or 6 minutes, you got to admit it was a pretty informative show. Thursday of Championship Week, I think it's the best day of basketball of the year. There's
Amen.
other great wins. The round of
Yes,
64
sir.
Thursday and Friday certainly rank way up there. I would rate Feast Week, some of those days. The thing that's so fun about Feast Week is that there's so many surprises. Because we're in one of the reasons is we just don't know how good anybody is yet. If you can believe it, North Carolina was actually ranked number one at one point, as was Kansas. So when Dayton almost beat them, it was like, holy crap. Now it's like, well, of course, Dayton would almost beat them. But Thursday of Championship Week, with every game having the stakes that it is, don't, regardless of whether you're watching the SWAC quarters or one of the big tournaments. Every game is a knockout game, and there's more of them tomorrow than there are on any other day of the year. I think it's the best day of the year for hoops. I look forward to it every year. Friday's good, Saturday's good, Sunday we see the field, but tomorrow, Thursday of Championship Week, it should be a national holiday.
Absolutely. It is a national holiday. I'm
Yeah.
declaring it. On that note, though, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of David Griggs, Mike Cha, David Dorman, enjoy all the games tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow night with another Championship Week video notebook, in which we'll also be recapping the first night of the meetings of our Hoops HD mock selection committee. So we've got a lot of extra stuff tomorrow. But on that note, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night.